For some of you, today's text will be very familiar. For others, it will be brand new. I invite you to lean into the text and let it speak for you today. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. And suddenly the angel came and touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." And he looked, and there at his head was a cake baked by the stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down. Then the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, lest the journey be too great for you." And he got up and he ate and he drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. And the word of God came to him, saying, "What are you doing, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for God, the God of hosts. For Israel has forsaken the covenant and thrown down the altars and killed the prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. So I'm seeking that you will take my life away." And God said, "Go and stand at the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting the mountain and breaking the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But God was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And after that, a fire, but God was not in the fire. And then there became a sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. This is the word of life. Thanks be to God. The background of the story is not a good story. It's a story of a religious zealot named Elijah the prophet. He had this encounter with the prophet Baal's prophets, and he ended up killing them. Now, I don't like that story because there are an awful lot of people killing other people in the name of their deity right now. And we've got to learn to temper our zealousness for being right and learn to be at peace with one another. So after that, the story becomes interesting because the original Wicked Witch of the West comes out, Jezebel, and sends the Middle Eastern equivalent of a death threat. "May I be like one of the prophets that you just killed if I haven't taken your life by tomorrow." So he does the smart thing. He runs out of there. He's used to speaking truth to power. But on this day, he's afraid of the Wicked Witch of the West. And he runs and he goes towards Horeb, which is also called Mount Sinai, where God encountered Moses. And he's so upset. He said, "I'm the only one in Israel who's following you." Which is completely not true. Completely not true. But he thinks he is. And so he has a pity party. And I'll remind you of the great Yiddish phrase that goes, "The good thing about self-pity is, at least you know it's sincere." So there he is, saying to God, "Take my life." And God leads him to this place where the divine is going to be revealed. Not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in a voice of, the Hebrew is hard to translate. It can be silence that's so quiet it speaks, or sheer silence. And that's where God was found. I feel like this church turned a corner last week when we had the search committee commissioned. And now you're on your last leg of the journey. I always say this to my students when I'm teaching. Towards the end of the semester, I say, you're going to be tempted not to do your homework. You're going to be tempted not to study and leave it all to the last minute. Don't do that. I've seen too many horse races where in the end, the horse just didn't make it. So arise, lest the journey be too great for you. You know how to do this, especially this time of year during the season of Lent. Continue the spiritual practices that you do. God is found in strange places. I find God in gardening. I find God with my dog. I find God in the children. But God always gets revealed in ways we don't expect. In burning bushes and stars over Bethlehem. And still small voices. And what I want to encourage you to do is don't give up. Don't quit. I think if the search committee finds your settled pastor by September, I would be amazed. If they haven't found that person by Christmas, I would be amazed. But you know, anything can happen. In a world where carpenters get resurrected, anything can happen. But hang in there and continue to do it. Feast on that food that God has given you in the fellowship of this community of faith, in the bread and the wine, in the music of celebration. Feast on that, lest the journey be too great for you. And then I would invite you to listen, knowing God shows up in strange places and looks in strange ways. But I want to encourage you to do what we preachers call othering. And that's to be around people other than yourself. We tend to have people who look like us, have our same political point of view, our same theology. The snotty sociology word is hypergamy. It's birds of a feather flock together. And I believe that if we can intentionally other, then maybe in seeing people's point of view from the other person's perspective, that is where we will hear God. A very, very good man died this last week, and he had a profound impact on my preaching. And so he says this better than me. So I would like to share a clip from Fred Kravitz.